We pause in this happy hour, on this joyous day, to say a word of greeting both to those who are listening from afar, whom we now imagine in our midst here, and to those who have gathered here at Marsh Chapel on this Christmas day, especially to those who have family visiting and friends. We extend our embrace and a warm welcome here. We are in a season of giving, and as we come toward this morning's sermon, which, as Marilyn Robinson wrote in this morning's paper and wrote well, a sermon is meant to take an acknowledged truth and make it a profound realization. May that be so. We recognize that gifts reflect givers. And as we pause before the sermon, we recognize the gifts around us. The Christmas tree, a gift visible before us, adorned, lit. Behind it, plans, an idea, a committee meeting, purchase, transport, setup, decoration, all. The gift reflects the giver. We have musicians who have given of themselves to be here on Christmas Day. No small gift. Here they are. We hear them in instrument and voice. But behind their gift, we surmise, we sense, all manner of preparation and practice, even in words of encouragement which they heeded earlier in their lives. You have a beautiful voice. I sense you have a musical rhythm. Gift reflects giver. Some of us enjoyed the service of Blue Christmas some weeks ago, wherein for an hour of devotion we recognized together that this season of lights also carries some darkness. And we honestly and prayerfully met that moment. The gift of a service, but behind it, an idea, a pastoral imagination, the quickening of a process, the gathering of participants, a liturgy. Gift reflects giver. And so at the gift of the manger, the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, our Lord, the gift reflects the giver. The Son reflects the Father. The babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, reflecting the giver. We sense the gift and see the gift, but we probe, we surmise, we sense the presence of the giver. On this season, this day, of givers and gifts, we welcome one and all to this service, this Christmas Sunday service here in Marsh Chapel. Will you pray with me? May the words spoken and heard be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Christmas is a time for stories because we begin again at this time to make the saving connection between our one story and the eternal story of Jesus Christ, our Christmas presence. You spell that P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence. When we were little, Jan and I lived out in the West together under the big sky, though we did not know each other, she near Denver and I in Las Vegas. And we were not to hold hands for another 15 Christmas Eves, nor to become engaged for another 20, nor for another 25 to construct a child's play kitchen at 2 a.m., opening the box marked "A Frightful Warning, Some Assembly Required." She was a toddler while her dad read Paul Tillich for a PhD dissertation in Denver at the Iliff School of Theology. He commuted from school to church on the train, reading a book with each eye as you do in graduate school. He went there after a master's degree in electrical engineering on the strength of a Life magazine article titled, "They're Training a New Kind of Minister in Denver." At the same time, I was a toddler in the desert sands of Las Vegas while my dad was a chaplain at the Nellis Air Force Base. He went there after undergraduate pre-medical study and divinity school in Boston. They both were leaders, one the captain of the football team, the other the president of the senior class. They came of age when leaders who wanted to make a difference headed away from engineering and medicine and toward the ministry. All this was nearly 55 years ago. The Cold War, Joe McCarthy, Elvis, the Mickey Mouse Club, Patti Page, and the Hula Hoop, and Paul Tillich. Paul Tillich is probably the last and only name of a modern theologian that more than 10% of contestants on a game show in our country could recognize, maybe 5%. His was one of the last great theological attempts in simple yet systematic language to connect the story of life with the story of Christ and to do so in a way that would work, as the gospel says, for all the people. I smiled last week when I read again his foreword to the 1957 volume. I hope, he wrote, to receive much valuable criticism of the substance of my thought, as I did with the first volume. But I cannot accept criticism as valuable, which merely insinuates that I have surrendered the substance of the Christian message because I have used a terminology which consciously deviates from the biblical or ecclesiastical language. Without such deviation, I would not have deemed it worthwhile to develop a theological system for our period. As Jan, at age 3, fingered the bulbs and lights of a tree in the parsonage of Onega, Kansas, her dad read Tillich on the train home from Denver. He read, I know he must have, how Tillich translated the old words about faith to words more current and true. And they are still true. And hearing them this morning can mean lasting health, real salvation. Said Tillich, we receive the Christmas presents in three modes, by participation, by acceptance, and by transformation. First, the story of Christ grasps and embraces your story by causing you to participate in his. This is the whole substance of Christmas, the reason for the season, and the reason you are here this morning or listening on the radio this morning. And by the way, again, a special personal Merry Christmas greeting to our faithful radio congregation today. That is, one way or another, you are participating. It is the reason the musician frets over the carols, the ushers welcome you, the preacher offers a sermon, and in the beauty, the silence, and the majesty of this one beautiful day within the great day of God, together we participate. Christ has surrounded your hurt and your desire and your longing with his healing and with his love. And that is surely good news. Second, the story of Christ grasps and embraces your story somewhere along the tough road of life by whispering to you, you are accepted. If only you will accept the fact that deep in the heart of the universe, we may call it for the moment, the ground of all being, there is a happy acceptance of just who you are, the real you, the authentic only you, your one story. God loves you. God accepts you. You have things you regret? Welcome to the human race. God accepts all that too. You are not perfect? Welcome to the human race. God accepts that too. You are prone to error, certain to die. Welcome to the human race. God accepts your error and mortality because God accepts you. And someday, one day, perhaps this day, may it be so, you are going to feel, believe, trust, know, understand and accept your acceptance by Almighty God. May it be so this Christmas morning, 2011. You are in the region first trodden by shepherds and lowly folk near Bethlehem of Judea when the news broke. God accepts, God loves, God accepts you, God loves you. Today we might say, in addition, you are connected. Some years ago, I ordered a computer by phone. That's always a mistake. Whatever else, please make sure if you do so that the machine has a modem in it or it will not work. Of course, it arrived without the modem, and we spent fumbling